Good morning. It's a joy to be here with you this morning. I especially want to welcome the visitors who are joining us. It's not the first time they've been here, and I definitely appreciate their presence and their commitment to the families that are here in the congregation. I want to thank all of you for your prayers, especially for my wife and the inborn child, my little girl. And I'm looking forward to meeting her, but there's a lot of pain still yet to come, I suppose, for my wife, and I would very much appreciate your continued prayers for her. I'm expecting some pain for myself, especially when I make comments like that. But I certainly do covet your prayers and, your thoughts. Last Sunday night, we dealt with the responsibility of the elders to the congregation. And in that sermon, you really only have the potential to annoy or make mad two people. This one, on the other hand, is about the congregation and their responsibility to the eldership, and now I have their ability to irritate the rest of you. So let's see how this goes. Hopefully, we have a good understanding of our relationship and how this relationship is supposed to work. The problem oftentimes comes in that most people are fine with elders as long as they mind their own business, as long as they deal with everyone else and they leave you to your own devices. See, Christians are a lot like children. And I don't just mean really young children, like mine, for instance, or the unborn one that's about to come. I mean, they range in spectrum. It's like you are an older individual, and you can have a child that's 2, or you can have a child that's 25, or 40, or 50, or 70. And that's how Christians are. Sometimes, we're too much like 2-year-olds, or 5-year-olds. Or even 15-year-olds. See, I don't look forward to my children becoming teenagers. Because children, very young, generally obey their parents, sometimes because they're afraid of them, and I'm okay with that to a large degree. Because they respect them, at least love them, and they understand that basic concept of love. And as they get older, they start getting freedoms. They start getting responsibility. They start, supposed to be, developing as an individual. And that's where you end up with the teenage years. And that's why the teenage years, in most people's opinion, is one of the most difficult. Because children are starting to learn to branch out. They're starting to learn to make their own decisions. And they start challenging authority. And they start causing problems, if that's the best way I can put it. And they don't want you, as a parent, getting in their way. And they don't want you to expect anything. And they want you to just mind your own business. But one of the best verses, I think, that contains the essence of the responsibility of the congregation to the eldership is actually not about the eldership at all. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1, Paul there writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," and that's important, "for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." And so he gives this context here in Ephesians chapter 6 of a child and their responsibility to their parent. To honor them, to obey them, to consider them. And if you wonder if that's odd, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we talked about last Sunday night, the qualifications or the qualities of an elder. In verse 4, he gives this quality. He says, "One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence." And that's all fine and good, but verse 5 tells you why that's important. "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" And so Paul, in teaching people how to establish an eldership, how to understand what an elder should be, compares it very highly to a parent, a father in this particular situation. And so in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it talks about a child's responsibility to that parent, which is very much like a congregation's responsibility or the expectation of a congregation that the eldership lays on them. Like fathers, they hold authority when they are not in conflict with the Lord. And that's the important part there in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. If an elder is asking you to do something that is in conflict with the Word of God, you should not do it. Just the same as if a father asks you to do something that is in conflict with the Word of God, you should not do it. That you obey your fathers in the Lord. But the first aspect that really gets pointed out in the New Testament when it comes to the eldership is something that the world, by and large, has lost altogether. And it's something very simple, and it doesn't take much work at all. And it's, in fact, the word respect. It seems like a simple thing. But there is a reason these men were chosen. They meet not only the credentials, right, the qualities, the qualifications that are listed there in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, but more importantly, those qualifications are there for a reason. These individuals are intended to be the most mature individuals. They're supposed to be the ones most able and capable of performing these roles. Which means when they have something that needs to be said, the congregation needs to listen. There needs to be an avenue of respect. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and that's something that the New Testament writers keep going over. Again and again, they hit this need for respect in different ways, though. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, he says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." He says that you need to respect them, in this sense, recognize. Esteem very highly, right? Understand what they are doing or trying to do anyway, what they're trying to accomplish. In Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about the design of punishment. And as a father punishes his children to bring about the maturing of the individual, so an eldership is responsible for the maturing of the congregation. And he urges these brethren here in Thessalonica, not here in Thessalonica, but in Thessalonica, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and the end of verse 12, admonish you, which can go both ways, both positively and negatively. There are opportunities for an elder to admonish you, to say, "Hey, you did a great job, appreciate that." But there's also opportunities for an elder to say, "Hey, you need to do better. Some things need to change. Hey, some corrections need to be made." He says, "Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourselves." He says, what they are trying to do, you might not appreciate in the moment. Respect them anyway. It's not fun having someone come to you and tell you that you're doing something wrong. But if an elder comes and is attempting to point out to you error that your life, in your life, or changes that need to be made, these men deserve your respect, deserve your time, and you should take their words as weight in your decision making. Notice Hebrews chapter 13. The Hebrews writer, he puts it a slightly different way. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, he says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And we begin again, he says, "Remember those who rule over you." So instead of recognize, instead of esteem very highly, he says, remember. And there's a lot of ways we remember people. And sometimes with good thoughts. Sometimes we remember people in our prayers. Sometimes we remember them by telling them. So kind of the idea he gives here is to encourage, whether through prayer or through practice. The idea here is to keep in mind those people that are helping you mature. Appreciate them is a good word here. And notice, I love how he ends here. He says, "whose faith follow." Now, we wouldn't talk like that in the English, but it's translated very well. Whose faith follow. Follow what? Their faith is in keeping with how it's supposed to be. It's like a story. Have you ever read a story and it just ended abruptly, or it ended absolutely the wrong way? Or you got into this character and you really liked this guy, and then he did something completely out of his character. I hate when that happens. These elders, they're not like that. Because their faith follows the example that they've laid out. Because they are, the word is, consistent. And because they are consistent, we can rely on them. And need to rely on them. He says, whose faith follow, and then he ends, considering the outcome of their conduct. What they say is what is done. They are men of their words. And we need to respect that. We need to recognize that. We need to remember these individuals. Pray for them. Encourage them. But remember who they are when they're talking to us. Respect. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 17, he says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now he's like, up the stakes here. So the individual who just rules, he's worthy of honor. But the one who rules well is worthy of double honor. He says, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That might be a comment talking about elders who also preach. He says, for the scripture says, and this is kind of the allusion that he makes, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Elders can be considered in a lot of the same respect as preachers. Most people think that a preacher only works one day a week. And most of you are probably saying, well, yeah, doesn't everybody think that? Elders have a grave responsibility, an important job in the ministry, in the congregation, in its effectiveness. And they deserve the honor that they get. They deserve more, usually, than the honor they get, I should say. Double honor, he compares. And then if you go back to verse 1 here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. And while this is a general application to older men, the fact that we call them elders gives you an idea of their age range. And so when you're talking to elders, the very fact that they are elders means that they are older men. And how should we handle them? How should we treat them? He says, with respect as fathers. He goes right back to that allusion, that comparison that he's made already. In verse 19, he says, do not receive an accusation against the elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. So an accusation comes down the line that someone, one of the elders, had done something that they should not be doing. This respect, see, in our 21st century mind, maybe it's not just a 21st century mind, the moment someone's name seems to be tarnished, the moment someone says something uncouth about an elder, a representative, maybe it's a congressman, our first instinct is to believe it. And Paul here says, your first instinct needs to give the benefit of the doubt. That they're the respect you have for them. Because remember, there is a reason these men were chosen, and it's not to be crucified. It's not to be browbeaten. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be disrespected. These men were chosen because they could fulfill this role that God has established. And so that respect that they are due extends to the benefit of the doubt. Now, if these accusations are proven true, because of their station, verse 20 says, you can't just sweep it under the rug. That because of their station, if these accusations are proven true, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. So there's an appropriate way of handling elders who leave their relationship with God, those who are active in a sin. And he says there's a way to handle that. And it's all above board. I know that's not how the world works, but that's how the church is supposed to work. And we have divine revelation from God and how that should take place. But it doesn't just extend to respect. Because respect is not enough to get things done. I don't know if you know that or not. See, you at your job, you might not respect your boss. If he's a good boss, you might respect your boss. You might like your boss. You might think he's a great guy. But respect is not enough to get things done. Because you can simply respect him. I think he's a great guy. I really appreciate who he is. I recognize that he's my boss. And then I still don't do anything he asks me to. And so, Timothy, and the Hebrews writer, whoever he may be, or I'm sorry, not Timothy, Paul, the Hebrews writer, whoever he may be, and Peter all talk about this next section. It's not just a matter of respect, though that is really, really important because it leads into, your respect leads you to be willing to be led. That sounds really odd. You remember what I pointed out last week, last Sunday night? The role of the elder, the responsibility of the elder to the congregation can be summed up with one word. Shepherd. Do you remember that? And though we do not have the greatest concept of the word shepherd, especially in first century terms, we get somewhat of an idea from passages like John 10, Psalm 23. The responsibility of a shepherd is to take care of the sheep, to lead them. And the idea is usually by example, by leading the way. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 7. I'm sorry, that should be a 1 in front of that 7. It should be 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, he says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. So there's two words that mean basically the same thing. And are both talking to Christians in the brotherhood, the members of a congregation, and are both talking about their response to the eldership, those who rule over them. He says, obey and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And this is where I come back to that teenager. Parents. The responsibility is to take care of your children, to develop them, to mature them, to help them be ready to leave the nest in that sense, right? To work efficiently on their own, to not need so much guidance and so much punishment. An elder's responsibility is to lead by example, to shepherd the flock. And so those individuals, they need to be willing to be led. You don't just follow. People don't just follow. Most people, if they follow anything, it's their own wants and their own desires. We have a phrase for that. They march to the beat of their own drummer. That is not how the congregation should work. The drummer in this circumstance would be the elders. The elders set the tone of the congregation. They begin the march, but everyone needs to fall in line. Remember, there's a reason these individuals were chosen. It wasn't haphazard. We didn't draw names out of a hat. There were significant responsibilities that these individuals have upheld. There were significant character traits that we were looking for, and these men matched that. And any future elders that get enacted need to match those, need to meet those qualities, those qualifications. And so the Hebrews writer, he says, don't make their work harder than it needs to be. Basically says, don't be a teenager. Don't be an adolescent. Don't be immature. But too often that's exactly what congregations do. They get fed up with having expectations on them. You've heard it. You have a teenager. You've heard it. You ask them to do a single thing. See, I don't have teenagers. I was one. And most of you think not all that long ago. Yeah, I'm still within 10 years of being a teenager. I'm going to hold to that. But you've probably heard them. And what do they say? You ask them to do one thing. Well, why do I have to do everything in this house? Yeah. Everything? You have no idea. But teenagers don't have any idea. And so they need some patience in the eldership, absolutely. But folks, get over it. If they expect you to do something, if they ask you to perform some work, something that needs to be done, do it. Because they wouldn't ask if A, you didn't need to be doing it, or B, it didn't just need to be done. And in our situation, there are two men, and they do a lot. They already do a lot. Most of you don't even know how much they do. I get a better idea because I'm the minister and I'm involved in some of the things they do, but I still don't know all that they do. And it's still a lot. They cannot do everything. And if you're a parent, you felt that. You felt that feeling like you do everything. You wash all the clothes, you do all the dishes, you cook all the meals, and there's no appreciation, there's no respect, there's just talking back. And there's ignoring you. And that is not how the congregation should treat their elders. Obey, defer, submit. Be willing to be led. Don't make their work harder than it has to be. Because their work is hard enough. They have huge weights on their shoulders. They are responsible for the congregation. I don't know if you grasp just how important that is. If you have children, you begin to grasp that. Now multiply it in this case by 40 or 50. That's harsh. Don't make their work harder than it has to be. 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is one of the ways we do that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It's interesting that an elder would write this. Now we don't know about Paul. And we don't know about the Hebrews writer. It seems that they might be elders. It's potential. But Hebrews 5, Peter's already said, I who am a fellow elder, so he knows what this is like. And he writes to fellow Christians in verse 5, he says, likewise you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, this is not necessarily talking about elders as the position, but it goes back to what we were talking about before, in the connection to elders and how you treat an older person. Older men as brothers, or older men as fathers, older women as mothers, younger men as brothers, and younger women as sisters. And he's talking to Timothy and telling him how he should handle people in different relationships. But if he would say that about an older man, a person that you should respect, there is no one you should respect more in a congregation than the elders. And he says, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And I love that. It's not just something you put on and take off. That's not the comparison he's making. He's saying shrouded. He's saying covered in humility. That it's always on. When we lose humility, we lose sight of where we are. We lose sight of who we are. And we've got to remember what he goes on. He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. What God is looking for are humble servants. Not servants that come in and say, look how amazing I am. Look what all I've gotten done. What he's looking for are people who understand their situation in life. And they come in and they say, man, I didn't get nearly enough done today. Man, I've worked hard, but I'm just not getting enough done. Not in a self-defeating way, but understanding that comparing our works to God's, wow. There is no comparison. And when we come in and we look at our parents, and hopefully one day, when you're, I don't know, it probably takes until you're 60 or 70 to really, really appreciate. Maybe until you have teenagers of your own, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I don't even understand fully what my parents went through for me. But when you get there, maybe one day you'll be in a position to be an elder and you'll look back at these individuals who were molding you and leading you. Don't make it that long before you start appreciating them. Before you learn to obey and submit, to defer, to allow yourself to be led. Learn it early. learn humility early, because that's ultimately the key. That we understand who they are and we understand who we are. And we're okay with that relationship. We don't have to be at the top of the food chain every time. We don't have to be the most important person in the room. And I will tell you that as a preacher, that is sometimes hard to remember. Because everyone wants to talk about how great your sermon was. Well, at least most of the time. And everyone wants to talk about how much they appreciate what you do. But you know what? The people that really deserve your respect, the people that do a whole lot more important job than me, are the elders. And I say that with every ounce of commitment. They are more important to the congregation than your preacher. Than any preacher. Because they are the shepherds. They are the overseers. They are the ones who care for you. And friends, I'm glad they're here. Follow their example. That's something that we've been called to do for many, many times. They're shepherds, and the idea of the sheep is to follow the shepherd, is to hear their voice, just like we do Jesus' voice. And the shepherd should know the sheep, not necessarily as well as Jesus does. And we should follow, the sheep should follow the shepherds. And when they lead in godly ways, we should follow. We should follow with everything that we are, because we respect them, because we obey them as our in the congregation superiors. And so we follow their examples, and one example we should follow absolutely is in salvation. That these individuals have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, just as God has called them to before they were elders, well before they were elders. And they have committed their lives to Christ. And you this day, if you want to be in this congregation, if you want to follow in their footsteps, in their paths, you can. You can follow Jesus the same way they do. Follow that example in your salvation and in their commitment of life. Being elder is not an easy job. Not by any means. But they have committed themselves to the work. And friends, though we are not elders, so should we. We should commit ourselves to the works that Jesus lays before us. To a life of service to Him. And if we do that, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, to the elders, he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. But yet, there is a crown for each and every one of us. There is a crown waiting for you if you will submit to God. If you will put your faith and your trust in Him. If you will be washed and redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ through burial and baptism, you can be His today. And if you've walked away from Him, you have two amazing examples to follow. You have men and women here in the congregation that have made mistakes, that have gone astray, and have come back and made their lives right with God. You're not alone. You're not the first person to do that. But you don't have to be the latest person. You can make it right with God. As long as you draw breath, you can make it right with your Heavenly Father. And you can come back to Him and you can serve Him again. And if you need help, prayers of the congregation, we are here for you. Just as we are here for every brother and sister in Christ. We love you. Whatever you need, I pray that you would come as we stand and as we sing.